Bhargani. Guru Brahma Guru Vishnu Guru Dev Maheshwara Guru Shaksha Parabrahma Tajmai Shri Gurve Maha Durgame Pati Niyanda Shaskara Kate Gite Mahusa Kripaya Sarana Santu Santu Banam Banam Vande Hom Sri Guru Siyata Parakamanam. Turn the mic on. Shri Rupam Parakamanam Shri Rupam Sagaditam Sahagana Raganatam Vitam Stam Sajevam Sarpaitam Sabudutam Paridana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam. We're here to commemorate the 22nd birthday of Varun, as we did. As we did Navika's birthday some time ago, and I think some of you were present on that occasion, and we did a havana, a fire sacrifice, and for those of you that might have been here on the previous occasion, I was trying to think of what I could do to add to it so it wouldn't be repetitive. And I hit on the idea of doing a PowerPoint to explain it better and also to illustrate it with imagery. The only problem with that was that we had a huge festival last night, Diwali. And we expected about 500 or 600 people for the Diwali festival, the Indian New Year's. And I cooked accordingly. I cooked about 15 trays of entrees and rice. And that was sold within an hour and a half. We had about 1,200 people here, twice what I expected. So Mina, Varun, of course you all know Mina, right? That's why you're here. And you know she's a pistol, right? So she walks in and she says, "What's the problem?" I said, "Mina, we ran out of food and the festival goes for another 2.5 hours. We're going to have a riot on our hands." So she starts looking in the refrigerator, pulling out things, and she got any canned food. I took Navika back. I showed her where the kidney beans were and the garbanzo beans and the tomato sauce. And she kept it going till the end. I mean, she did her magic in the kitchen at warp speed. And we didn't run out. And as far as I know, people weren't dissatisfied. And in fact, they said the food was really good throughout the night. And then she got up this morning and cooked again for you all, and then a surplus also for our Sunday evening programs, which starts at 5 o'clock. So I was thinking, you know, how am I going to organize the Diwali and give the talk at the Sunday feast and at the same time do a PowerPoint? And then I thought, well, if Mina can do all that, I can certainly find time to do a little PowerPoint. I mean, after all, I'm just sitting down. So here it is. What we're going to do and what we did with Navika also is a havan or a fire sacrifice. And it's a common observance for landmark points in your life. Wedding, definitely you have to have a fire sacrifice. Birth ceremony, fire sacrifice. New home, fire sacrifice. I'm going down to Beaver on Tuesday. There's some motel owners there. You all know about Patel motels, right? Patel. They own like 70 or 80% of all the budget and economy motels in America. And so I'm going to do a hair cutting ceremony the first time that their newborn child has had his hair shaved, and we'll do a fire sacrifice in connection with that. The technical name for a fire sacrifice is havan. And it's invoked whenever there's need for a call for purification. Fire purifies even doctors when they want to sterilize surgical instruments, they put them in liquid fire or acid, and that sterilizes them and kills all the germs. The fire is a purifying influence, and by invoking the fire, we invoke a purifying factor, and then also fire has the qualities of light and heat. According to our Indian culture, Godhead is represented by light, and the qualities of ignorance and darkness and evil are represented by darkness. The good thing about that is that darkness can never encroach upon light. There's never a time in the history of the world where darkness has rolled back or caused light to take a step backwards. All it takes to banish darkness is the presence of light. That's all it takes. Paul, on his road to Damascus, he was an evil, evil person. He hunted down Christians and fed them to the Romans. And when he'd done all that he could in Jerusalem, he was on his way to Damascus to find more Christians for the lions, you see. And yet all it took to change the heart of this, I'm sure those of you who are Christians, if you were living at that time, you would have called Paul as evil a man as ever existed. You would have called him evil incarnate. You would have called him the devil. And yet within the click of a finger, when he was penetrated, when his heart was intruded upon by the light of Godhead, he changed. And actually, we're here as Christians because of Paul, more than any other single person, even more than Lord Jesus Christ. Read the New Testament. Who you're reading? You're reading Paul. And that was a man who would have been called evil by just about every Christian of the day. So the fire invokes, the Godhead invokes light and invokes truth, and it rolls back darkness in every single case. Now, one knee-jerk reaction that we've run across quite often is idols. As soon as you see the beetle, they're worshiping idols. There's a difference between idol worship and deity worship. Deity worship is an authorized form of worshiping an authorized form of the Lord. Idol worship is something that's made up. It's according to the imagination of the poet or the artist. Idol worship is called in Sanskrit archa vigraha, or authorized worship of the Lord. God is everywhere, we all know that. But we don't worship God in the form of a tree or a rock or in the form of energy. We want to worship the original form of the Lord from which everything is coming. And we all know from all our scriptures that God is a person. That means he has a form. But different traditions give more or less information about what that form is. We feel that our scriptural heritage gives us full information about what the transcendental form of the Lord looks like, and he's amply described in those scriptures, and then those are verified by the testimonies of great saints and sages. So the deity, as you see before you in this image and before you, is not something that's made up by the imagination of the poet or the artist. Rather, the example is given of a postal box. Postal box is just made of ordinary materials, metals and bolts and paint. And yet, because it's authorized, you see that sign on the side of the box? It says United States Postal Service. You can put your letter in that box with the same confidence that it will get to its destination as if you went to the GPO, because it's authorized. And in fact, if you're a kid and you're a prankster and you're thinking of putting a cherry bomb in one of those or hitting with a baseball bat, don't. Because it's a federal crime. It's not a municipal crime. It's not a state crime. It's a federal crime. Because that box has all the weight of the federal government behind it. So before we jump to the conclusion this is idol worship, we should find out some of the science behind it. Because in fact, this has the weight of scripture, it has the weight of testimony, it has the weight of ages behind it. It's nothing whimsical or made up. And then again, what's an idol? An idol is basically anything in your heart which is more important to you than reviving your relationship with God. When you're alone, what comes to your thought? Is it reviving your relationship to God, or is it sports? Is it hunting? Is it off-road ATV? Is it the Cougar football team? Is it your financial portfolio? Is it your family? Is it your wife? Is it your girlfriend? Not that any of these things are bad, but if they have taken their place in the core of your heart, you're an idol worshiper. You're an idol worshiper because you're worshiping that which is most central and most core to you and most dear to you is something that's temporary. And that means when the great cataclysms of life come, the financial reverses, the health reverses, the employment reverses, the emotional reverses come, the center's not going to hold. It's not going to hold. You need to place God in the center of your heart. And the Lord himself doesn't want to be a resident in your heart. He wants to be the president of your heart. He wants to be your life manager. And when you surrender to him and make that your priority, then you're actually worshiping God. By that criterion, we understand that a lot of Hindus, a lot of Christians, a lot of Muslims are idol worshippers because the thing that's most dear to them is something temporary. So before we jump to say this or that is idol worship, then we should put our own house in order as well. So there are avatars and demigods. Avatars are expansions of the Supreme Lord. If you're the absolute truth, one of the features of being omnipotent is that you can expand yourself. At this point, I'm going to ask Varun to inaugurate the ceremony here by lighting the diya. This is the first thing that we do for the puja. And again, it represents light and truth and knowledge.
If I can light it.
If he can light it, yeah. This is a test. This is his first test as a 22-year-old. Now, that example serves us in good stead also. Yes, it's lit there. Now, that candle, from that candle, we can light other candles, and then those other candles subsequently lit will be as powerful as the original candle. So this is a feature of the Absolute Truth, that he can create or expand himself in what we call plenary portions, and they are just as powerful and just as worshipable as he is. And so you have different features, different items, different personalities flanking the Lord on the altar there. They're what's called plenary portions. The reason I'm not on the altar there and you're not on the altar is that we're portions, but we're not plenary portions. We are, what would you say? What's the opposite of plenary? Not plenary. Thanks, Navika. We're portions, but we're not plenary portions. We're not full expansions. We're not avatars. So what are we? What's the result? What's the opposite of plenary? Plenary means full. If it's not full, it's what?
Empty.
Well, somewhere in between.
Half empty.
If I have a cup that's not full, I could say it's partially full, right? Right? If we're not plenary, we're partial. So we're partial expansions of the Lord. We're infinitesimal, and he's infinite. But we can become demigods. As Lorenzo Snow said, as man is, God was, as God is, man will become. But we can't become capital G-O-D, but we can become godly or godlike or demigod, as it might say. So those who are very righteous and pious in this life, by virtue of their affinity for that which is good and true and the light, they can actually be elevated to higher positions of universal authority in their next life as demigods. And the chief demigod in each every universe is Lord Brahma. He creates the universe by the grace of the Lord. So, first thing we do is we invoke Agni, the fire god, and you see a picture of him also. The fire has a unique feature of being able to transform material elements to a more subtle form, and that is for the purpose of consumption by the more subtle deities to whom we offer various oblations. The instruments that we use in order to make the fire oblations is the shrava, shruva. This is a shruva, it's a wooden instrument. This is the shrap, and we ladle ghee, purified butter, into the fire, and this is called the kund, the havan kund, and it's made of copper, which is an auspicious element. The auspicious mix of herbs and grains, which we put into the fire, and which when lit, give off a wonderful aroma and make an auspicious atmosphere, is called Havan Samagri. And Varun will be putting those into the fire once we illuminate it. Now this is a tali, this is a puja tali, and it contains various items for worship. There are wicks or diyas, cotton balls which have been soaked in ghee which will burn. There is a portion of kusha grass here, which we're going to put on Varun's ring finger on his right hand. And say a mantra, Om Apavitra Vitrava Sarvishtam Vito Viva Yashmarat Pandarikatam Sabhya Vasati Sri Vishnu, Sri Vishnu, Sri Vishnu. And that has special potency. And now we're going to purify our hands by taking Sharanamrita, which is a special holy water purified by mantras and sweetened with rose water. Just your right hand, other side. And sip it.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, rose water as well as sweetened. Om Keshavaya Namah. Each time we say a different name of God. Om Narayanaya Namah. Om Madhavaya Namah. And I'll do the same thing, only I do it 24 times. Om Keshavaya Namah. Om Narayanaya Namah. Om Madhavaya Namah. Om Vishnave Namah. Om Govindaya Namah. Om Madhusudanaya Namah. Sri Vikram Vamana Shira Rishikeshaya Namah. Padmanabhaya, Namararaya, Vasariva, Pradyumna, Shankushanaya, Anurudaya, Pushurama, Dokshidaya, Nishingaya, Chitanandaya, Janardina, Upendraya, Om Havaya, Ram Krishnaya, Namam, Tad Vishnu, Paramam, Param, Sarabhasanti, Suryo, Divi, Vichaksu, Adhikam, Yadvi, Prashtam, Panyago, Jagavam, Sam, Samindhi, Vishnaya, Paramam, Param. Now I'm going to answer the question that you've had in your mind for quite a time. What is the significance of the red dot? How many of you wondered that? Raise your hand. All right, you're going to get the answer right now. But just to build up the suspense a little bit, we're going to do one thing first. We'll tie the raki, or the muli, around Varuna's right hand. And this literally ties him in to the results of this very, very spiritual performance here. Whatever the results are, he gets them.
Yena bala bari yena cha dridana mahabala yena mukti bana ni rakhi yena chalam chalam.
The blood still flowing there?
Feel that?
We're good.
Okay, good, good.
All right. All
right. We know there's feeling there. Man. And we do the red dot. When the Lord comes, as he did 5,000 years ago in India, he's called the Lotus Lord, and the feet of the Lord on the altar are red. The bottom of his feet are red, as is the lotus flower. And the lotus flower is not only red, but if you touch it, it's sort of a red powder will come off. And the lotus is unique amongst flowers because it grows within water and yet never gets wet. Even if you splash it, it'll be bone dry shortly thereafter. So it can be said of the lotus, it's in the water but not of the water. It's like we recall the Lord saying, be in the world but not of the world. And so when we go to the temple and the priest takes this sindoor and anoints it, he says, don't go away. And then he takes this crown. This is called shahare. It's a crown with a pair of feet on top. So the crown represents the crown represents all the powerful, wealthy personalities of this world, even up to Lord Brahma, who is the creator of the universe. And the feet are the feet of the Lord. And the prayer that I just said, the blessing that I just gave him, is that as you go about your daily activities, may you always be aware of the Lord above you in the sky. That even if you get to be the CEO, the Prime Minister, the President, never forget that you are a representative of God. And your gifts, your position of power and influence are meant to be used to glorify God. They're not for your own personal aggrandizement. So there's the Rakhi and the Tika. The Tika is called the dot on the forehead. So in any case, when you put the dot on your forehead, the meditation is that you're putting your head at the feet of the Lord. If the bottom of the Lord's feet are smeared red and you put your head at his feet, you'd probably come up with some sort of a dot. And so that's the significance of it. And there's a lot of symbolism about putting one's head at the feet of the Lord. Now we purify ourselves. We purify the directions. They're guardians, as you see here. They're guardians of the different directions. And we ask each of them to be alert during the next half an hour or so, so that no evil, mischievous, negative influences may come in. And so I'll invoke each one of those guardians and throw a little bit of akshita, yellow rice with turmeric, in that direction as a kind of a blessing. Om Sri Nadaraya Namaha Kapilaya Namaha. Om Shivaya Namaha. Om Narayana Kapilaya Yamabhadaya Vishmaya Shukadevaya Janakaya Sarashivaya Pradadaya Udvrambhavadaya Padovanantaya Maha Tidik Paragamanaha. So those are the 8 points of the compass on this plane, and as well as up and down. So we've asked them to be on guard and to watch and be vigilant while we perform our ceremony. And then there's a plate here with a ganta and a shankha, a bell and a conch. So just like the light is key in banishing negativity and evil, certain sounds also are despised by those who are of the demoniac tendency. And those sounds are, as you might have guessed, the sound of the bell and the sound of the conch shell. In the Bhagavad Gita, when the Bhagavad Gita begins, the song of God, the scripture of India, both Krishna and Arjuna blow their conch shells, and with the sound of the blowing of the conch shells, the bad guys know their hearts are shattered, they lose fortitude, and they know they're going to lose the contest. So we blow the conch shell so that if there are any mischievous, evil spirits around, they can't stand this. And they run here and there, you see. It even says their wives have miscarriages when they hear the sound of the conch shell. These are bad people, so don't worry about it. Don't write me afterwards, okay? So this is the mudra for the conch shell, and you notice how much it actually resembles a conch shell. And now we say a few words about the ganta, the bell. Gamana chacho devaram, gamana chacho rakshanam, guru gandharvam deva devatavaram, ganta gara brahma devata, mukada gara darsara, narasara sri vidyadane nagari, vidham ganta, dipachyam, mahaga, nakshada, vishmani samapya. This mudra also resembles the bell, and I'll ask Varuna to ring the bell there. He's borderline. When I'm playing the bell, borderline. There you go. There you go. It's all on the wrist. And a single toll, you notice the big bell mounted there. People will ring that one time, and that. Would anyone like to just ring that one time, Amy? Just give it one ring. Good. Anyone guess what that sound is besides the sound of the bell ringing? Thank you very much. Can you still hear it resonating? Om, Om, Om. So Om is a chant that yogis chant. It's a sound representation of God. It makes you peaceful. And we need to be peaceful in order to enjoy the ceremony. I already mentioned Meena's exploits last night, cooking for thousands of people and then cooking for hundreds of people today. So as she's finished up her duties and hopefully sitting here, we want her to be peaceful, and we know you've been running around too, coming here after your services and all. We want you to be peaceful as well. And so, just these are a couple of examples of conch shells. So we're going to say the Shanti Panchakam. These are 8 verses for peace. And, there are 5 verses for peace. And after each one, we say, Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Shanti is a Sanskrit word for peace. And if you say it, you'll feel yourself becoming peaceful. It kind of has that onomatopoetic ability to invoke peacefulness just in the saying of it. So, first we ask for peace in the heavens, peace between ourselves and the various forces of nature that cause tidal waves and earthquakes and hurricanes. We ask that all that be abated. And then we ask for peace between our fellow human beings. And then finally, the third time we say Shanti in each case, we're asking that peace start from within our own hearts. So, please join us. Om Samnamita Samvaruna Samnambhati Rama Samnavandra Vihaspati Samnavishnavarukmane Namo Brahmane Namaste Vayu Tvameva Prajaksam Vamasi Ritambarasimi Satambarasimi Tvamamavatu Abatu Mamavatu Vaktaram Om Shanti 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 Om Sahanavatu Sahanavaruktu Sahaviryam Karvavavahe Tejasvinavavitamashtam mamvirashavahe Om Shanti 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 Om Tacham Yora Nabinamahe Kitam Yaga Kitam Yagapatiye Devi Shvashtirashtir Shvashtir Manusha Vidvam Jigadobe Jisham Sham Nagdurishtabe Sham Turishvare Om Shanti 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 Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachate Purnasya Purnamadya Purnamivavashishate Om Shanti 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 Om Samnamita Samvaruna Samnabhuvatirama Samnavindra Vihaspati Samnavishnavarukamane Namo Brahmane, Namaste, Vayu, Tameva Pratchak Sambhavasi, Ritambarashami, Satambarashami, Tamama Vatu Vatu, Mama Vatu Vakaram, Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Very good, I can tell. We have a high consciousness crowd here. This also conduces to peace. It's the famous Gayatri Mantra. Its translation is there. O Lord, who art the giver of life, remover of pain and sorrow, the bestower of happiness, O creator of the universe, may we receive thy supreme sin-destroying light. May thou guide our intellect in the right direction. And that's the goddess Gayatri pictured there. So we're going to say that 5 times. And those who are familiar with it, please join me. Om Bhuvashava Tat Savito Varenyam Bhargo Devasya Dhimihi Vyajana Prachodayati Om Bhuvashava Tat Savito Varenyam Bhargo Devasya Dhimihi Vyajana Prachodayati Om Bhuvashava Tat Savito Varenyam Bhargo Devasya Dhimihi Diyayana Pachodhyatahim Om Bhuvashava Tat Savito Varenyam Bhargo Devasya Dhimihi Diyayana Pachodhyatahim Om Bhuvashava Tat Savito Varenyam Bhargo Devasya Dhimihi Diyayana Pachodhyatahim Apo Jyotsara Samritam Brahma Bhuvashava. Now this is our Sankalpa, statement of purpose. And what we do is we put a little of the yellow rice in Varun's hand, a few flower petals in there also, as well as a sprinkle of water, if I can find a spoon. Don't know what I did with the spoon. Sprinkle you there, okay. And you can see the mudra, the center. You see the mudra, you cover your right hand with your left hand, and then you put it, the figure on the left, you put it on your right knee, your right knee. This is a word formula. Basically, it's stating the purposes for which we're gathered here, and it's creating a record, what you might call an akasic record in the ether, what we're here for. So please repeat after me. Om, and look at the flame. Om Tat Sat Sri Govindam 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 Asya Shubha Adito Sri Bhagavat Kainkarya Rupam Pravarta Manasya Adya Brahmano Dvitiya Parade Shri Shweta Varaha Kalpe Vimsati Kali Yuge Pratama Pade Jambu Dvipe Bharat Varshe America. See, you all know at least one Sanskrit word, right? There's more coming. Kande, Meru, Paschime, Pasche, Utah, Chetre, Spanish Fork, Fore, Ajmer, Varta, Mano, Kale, Evam, Gunam, Vishishtam, Vishikshanam, Yajamanam. Now, Yajamana means the beneficiary. All the piety goes to him. And it also, there's a scatter effect also. There's an overflow effect for you all. But he's the principal beneficiary. So we say Yajamana, and then we ask Varun to say his name.
Varun.
Full name.
Varun Sharma.
Varun Sharma. And then Achyuta. Gotra. Which means he's descended from the family of God. Now, presumably, you're all here as well-wishers. And benedictors of Varun. So this, you'll see from this picture, this is a picture of Rama offering blessings to Hanuman, his great devotee servitor. And when you want to wish good to someone in a formal way, you extend the palm of your right hand in their direction. So would you like to do that now? If you don't, you can leave. No, I'm just kidding. All right. And what we're going to wish for him are various things. There's a litany. And I'll explain them. First is pushti. Pushti means good health. So as I say pushti, repeat. Pushti.
Pushti.
Next is tushti, which means inner deep satisfaction. So tushti.
Tushti.
Long life. The word for long life in Sanskrit is ayusha. So ayushaha.
Ayushaha.
Victory over those who would oppose him is vijaya. So vijaya.
Vijaya.
Destroying all obstacles in his path is vigna nasham. So vigna nasham.
Vigna nasham.
Progress, can be spiritual progress and material progress both, is vridha. So vridha.
Vridha.
Peace, we already talked about that. We wish him peace. Shanti.
Shanti.
Prosperity, the word is Aishwarya. Aishwarya.
Aishwarya.
And may all all his works be good, which is mangal karma. So, mangal karma. Abhivito sri agnihotram yage karishamaha. Now give these to me and I will sprinkle them like blessings over your head. Om Manati Mam Deva Jana Pananti Manasadhyaya Pananta Vishabhutani Janavirabham Om Asya Kamaram Punyaham Bhavanta Pumata Om Punyaham Om Punyaham Om Punyaham Om Udad Givis Sakuna Gamasayasi Brahmakurta Vipushanav Shivsam Sisi Vishabhavajishi Shir Matirapita Sarvato Nasukuni Pandravahara Vishuddha Nasukuni Pandravahara Om Asya Kamaram Shasti Pumata Pumata Om Shasti Om Shasti Om Shasti Om Shasti Novindra Bhadhasavaha, Shasti Novusha Vishravana, Shasti Novitakshrishni, Shasti Novrihaspididatu, Om Asya Kamanam Rijamam Bhavadabhavata, Om Rijamam, Om Rijamam, Om Rijamam, Om Rijamam Stanam Sanyama, Manamantasaret Baitam, Yashadamadu Gashanto, Rabutam Shoshpinikam Ravara, Om Shasti Novinda, Shasti Novitananto, Shasti Novasadeva Vishnu Dinatu, Shasti Novarayan Onarovai, Shasti Novavan Purushadam Dinatu, Swastino Vishukshana Vishwesuraha, Swastino Rishikeshavara Dhatu, Swastino Venatuari, Swastino Vishukta Hanukku, Swasti Swasti Samangalam, Kesha Mahansi Vishnu Satchinananda Ganasha Deshare Shuro Dhatu. Let's just go back a few slides here, if it'll let us. See the swastika on that plate? And that, you might have wondered about that when we went through that. Of course, Hitler took it and misused it, but for thousands and thousands of years, all over Asia, in all the Asian countries, the swastika is a symbol of unqualified auspicity and good luck. If you were to come to the temple and you wanted to generate good luck for yourself and your family, you would circumambulate the temple in a clockwise direction. And every time you do that, you accrue more and more auspiciousness in your life and the lives of those who are close to you. So the swastika symbol has the facility that as soon as one limb ends, the other one picks up. So it's always, it's like perpetually, the impetus is perpetually in the clockwise direction. So it's constantly generating auspicious. I believe, I may be wrong, but Hitler actually reversed it, which would give you... when we have high school tours here, I ask the kids, I say, if you'd like to walk, I invite them to walk around the veranda and see the views from this altitude. And as they went out the door, I said, would you like to walk in the way that brings good luck or the way that brings bad luck? And mostly they say good luck, although not always. So I say, okay, go to the right and go clockwise. If you want to generate bad luck, you go to the left. All right. So we're getting to our main event here, which is the invoking of the fire, but nothing is done without first invoking or acknowledging Ganesh. Ganesh here you see is the elephant-headed god. He's over on that side. And we offer, we offer him an incense and a little flame first. With his stout and strong body, he can go and remove, he can go through a thicket or a field of bamboos that we would otherwise have to detour around, losing a lot of time and covering a lot of extra land. He can just go through thickets with his elephantine body and we can follow him. And that way we get to where we want to go with less fuss. If you've ever been passed by an 18-wheeler on the freeway, you know what I'm talking about, that feeling of drafting. Or if you're a marathon runner and you're getting to the 22nd mile of the race and you're getting really tired, find some big guy or maybe big girl and tuck in behind their shoulder and help them draw you along. So just offering a certain clockwise direction. Is that coming from my bell? Oh. Okay, and then we'll follow that. That's called dupa. Dupa, the incense, and this is called dipa. Dupa and dipa. Brahmano shamakamashit bahavulanjan yakita. Go ahead. Now, different planets, the whole science of astrology is based on the influence different planets have on our lives. And there are 9 planets. Many of them correspond to ones we know, like Mercury, Venus, Pluto, Mars, Jupiter. And then there are some extra planets in our Vedic cosmology, 2 of which are invisible, Rahu and Ketu. So we just do a brief acknowledgement of the influence of the planets on our destiny. And the ones that are malefic, we ask them to give us a break and bother someone else. The ones that are marginal, we ask them to be kind to us instead of otherwise. And there are some which are beneficent anyway, as it is, like the sun and the moon, without which we couldn't even live for 2 minutes. So just offer a little achita on each one as I point. We'll start with the sun, aditya, in the middle. We go to the sun, then we go to the upper right, that's the moon, and then upper left, bud, and then lower, here is mangal. We skip across to Sukracharya, Brihaspati, then Sukracharya, then Shani, then Rahu, and then Ketu. Om Japakushma Sangasyam Kasityam Haradam Tantaram Savapapapranatashmi Yuram Tadiga Bhavtasharabam Sheridharavishambhavam Namami Shasharam Shumam Shambham Ukirabhushanam Daraka Kusamutan Vijitpanju Samapanam Kumana Shati Hasana Kali Pandanamamiham Priyanga Karika Samam Nupina Pinimam Sharvishamogarabanam Tamburim Pranamamiham Devanam Charisham Chad Guru Kanchana Sanivam Pandey Bhutra Brihaspatim Pranamamiham Nima Pandaminaram Bam Daitanam Paramam Guru Savishashbhaktaram Bhagavam Pranamamiham Nilanjan Chaya Prakitam Ravisura Mahagaram Chayagava Sambuddhan Vande Bhakta Sanaitana Adakaya Mahavara Chaladiti Vimaranam Sinika Sitam Ram Tamaham Pranamami Ham Pala Shapta Prasangasha Taragrava Maranam Rodan Rodan Ram Tam Ketu Pranamami Ham. Incidentally, we may be making history. This may be history in the making right here today. Because to my knowledge, and I've been part of this tradition for 40 years, and I've been to India about 25 times, and I'm generally conversant with, you know, what's going on in our devotional Vaishnava world, is to my knowledge, never before has a fire sacrifice been accompanied by a PowerPoint. Yeah, have you ever even heard of such a thing? Yeah, see? I just got inspired by Meena, threw this together this morning. It could be the first time in the history of the world that a PowerPoint has been illustrated by a fire sacrifice has been illustrated by a PowerPoint. So, and you were there. In Spanish for Utah. We're going to invoke the fire now. We're going to ask Agni, the fire god, to appear here and to purify and to bless Varuna on the occasion of his birthday. And just before that, we're going to do some prayers to Krishna here, who is installed here as our principal deity. Vasudeva Sudam Devam Kamsudeva Nadanam Devaki Puram Nadanam Krishna Vande Jagatinam. I'm not going to ring the bell. Dashi Kushpisangasam Haranapara Sandaram Radhakam Viragayaram Krishna Vande Jagatinam. Mandala Ganda Samyaktam Charusham Charusham Bari Pinchava Chudigam Krishna Vande Jagatinam. Utpada Padma Patuksam Nirjamita Samnitam Yaravara Saradam Krishna Vande Jagatinam. Rukmina Kadakara Vishampi Dabarushi Sosakam Yapta Dabarshadam Krishna Vande Jagatkarum Gopi Kanaka Chadadad Kunkanum Sanditam Shinikitam Maheshasam Krishna Vande Jagatkarum. It's a little hot over in the back. Shivatsanga Mahorasha Manamaramadam Shakuchakadam Krishna Vande Jagatkarum Nayaram Maradam Baradam Baradam Maradam Baradam Rigam Baradam Masadam Baradam Gamaram Maradam Maradarikatirakaram Maradam Pacharam maradam charidam maradam vasaram maradam mamitam maradam charidam maradam ramitam maradam maradaritam maradam Veno maradu reno maradu kalimaru kalu maradam hityam maradam sakyam maradam maradaritam maradam Itam maradam bitam maradam bhuktam maradam sattam maradam rupam maradam tiratam maradam maradaritam maradam. Hanuman, if you want to get ready to chant, we're going to start the fire sacrifice, and while we're doing the fire sacrifice, we'll just have some chanting going on in the background. Here's an example of a full-fledged fire sacrifice with all the different accoutrements, which can last up to 4 hours. We're condensing everything into a 45-minute period. Now, the main prayer, which is intoned during the offering of the samagri, is called the Purusha Shukta. Now, Shukta is a song, and Purusha means the supreme person. Actually, God is described as the supreme male because he controls everyone. He dominates everything. and he creates everything. Someone says, well, God created everything. Who created God? The answer is, that's God. I mean, he didn't, nobody created him. He created everything, but nobody created him. That's the definition of God. And so Purusha means that supreme dominator, supreme controller, supreme enjoyer. And to the extent that we're created by God, we're dominated by God, we're owned by God, we're enjoyed by God, we're all female. In that sense, there's only one male, and we're all females. I know that in LDS, you know, you believe that you retain the gender in the next life and all like that. Our belief is a little different, that we may actually change from a male body to a female body depending on our consciousness and so on and so forth. But whether you have a male body or a female body, in the universal sense, we're all female. And that's the word for that is prakriti, because we're all controlled, we're all subordinate. And then there's one supreme male, and that's God, and he's called Purusha. So this is an ancient hymn, tens of thousands of years old, glorifying the Purusha, the supreme personality of Godhead. And this is one verse from it. Padjam bhuma dishashra tatam tata lokam akampayam. Thy feet are the earth, thy forehead the directions, thou art the one who moves the world. And this is Krishna on the Kurukshetra field speaking the Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna. And in the 11th chapter, Krishna reveals that he is in fact the source of the universe, the source of all universes. And in the course of revealing that and graphically demonstrating that, Krishna shows his form as Purusha, the universal form, in, of which Arjuna is in awe. So we're going to light, we're going to invoke the fire, and we're going to offer the oblations into the fire. And very little explanation will I give you after this, that we'll have the chanting to the Purusha Shukta, to the Purusha, the Supreme Lord, while we simultaneously chant the Sanskrit. And I will be putting ghee on the fire, and each time I ladle ghee on the fire, I will say, Shraha. Shraha means let it be consumed. The herbs here are being placed into the fire with the accompaniment of ghee, and they're transformed into a more ethereal substance, which is adequate to be consumed and to be enjoyed by the higher, more sublime beings. Okay, so we'll just begin this. Each time I say Svaha Varun, and you can also, Navika and Meena, just take a little pinch of it and offering it lovingly as you would offer it onto someone's tongue. Om Sasri Sri Sri Om Sasri Sri Sri Ti Sarasita Shapri Shasita Shapri Narayana Rishi Purusha Devata Janapata Dashara Krishna Chanda Chishtu Chandra Purusha Shakti Jabi Vidhara Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Om Sasri Sri 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 Sri
Shama, 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 Sh Jaya.